Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our new listeners to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or when the world is going to end, but we will get you ready to face that if it does happen. We will talk about first aid, CPR, tornadoes, earthquakes, how to prepare a family emergency plan, how to develop an emergency communication plan, how to hunt, how to fish, how to make a fire. This show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and various guests from around the world who will share their information and their experiences with us. My credentials? They're pretty extensive, with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, a firefighter, an area safety manager, a safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA field councils, and I am your host for the show. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this program or find on hesafety.org or the radio website at csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to get you to think about things and get you to do your own research. Talk with your professional legal and medical advisors. Because in the end, it's all common sense anyway, which you have. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the show. Common Sense Preparedness website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information about subjects than we can give you in a single broadcast. The website is free, so come on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can also listen or download previous shows via the website. I do ask you to sign up, though. Reason being, it's just so I can judge how well the show is doing. Also, please, show some love to our sponsors. They're the ones that keep the show and the websites free of charge. At the end of the day, it all comes down to this: how many lives we save. It is sad to hear of any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune into Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness. Here is your host, Tim Howard.
Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness Weekly Situation Report for February 1st, 2012. Now, to give you a little background on the situation report, we'll be doing this weekly on Wednesday. The idea here is to give you a synopsis of everything that's going on in the world around us. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. Our environmental report: the U.S. Radiation Monitor Network looks normal. Our river report looks good. We have some minor flooding in the Mississippi River. Our air quality maps and our jet stream maps look good. Now, our drought report: as of December 27, 2011, most of Texas was reporting either extreme or exceptional drought conditions. Parts of Georgia were reporting extreme drought conditions. Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Arizona was also reporting severe to extreme drought conditions. On our food safety report, we have a couple of salmonella recalls, one in the Ukraine for their chicken, one in Russia for powdered milk, and in the U.S. we have a salmonella recall for a spice called Jones Salt Spicy Southwest Blend and Jones Mock Salt Original Salt-Free Seasoning. Remember, food safety is up to you. When you're cooking your food, make sure it's over 140 degrees. And if you're going to refrigerate your food, make sure it's under 40 degrees. Also, when you're dining out, check the restaurant. You can check the last inspection from the local Board of Health Department. CSP.HESafety.org also has links posted on its website to all the state health boards and local health departments. Now, our medical report: there's an outbreak of scarlet fever in Canada, the Northwest Territory. H1N1 outbreak in Mexico again. So far, 29 are dead and 1,500 infected. However, this year, the Mexican government is containing it more aggressively in order to stop the spread. This is a great example of lessons learned from the 2009 outbreak. Influenza reports are still remain low in the U.S. Influenza rate in the U.S. is currently at 2.1%. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you that the best way to prevent the flu is to wash your hands and stop transmission. Please check out our webpage at csp.hesafety.org for more flu prevention and treatment information. Now, our seismic report. In the month of January 2012, we've had 5,523 recordable seismic events. Now, in the New England region, Quebec had a 3.2. New York had two seismic events, the highest being a 2.3. Maine had a 1.4. New Hampshire, 1.4. Massachusetts had a 1.3. In the Mid-Atlantic region, Virginia had six earthquakes, the highest being 3.2. South Carolina had three, highest being a 2.6. Now, the Caribbean region is still very active. The biggest concern here is a tsunami hitting the eastern seaboard of the Gulf of Mexico due to an earthquake in this region. Puerto Rico had two, highest one being a 4.6. The Virgin Islands had two, highest being a 5.2. The Dominican Republic had eight of them, highest being a 5.3. Now, the Midwest region is starting to shake up again. Oklahoma had a 3.5, and Snyder, Texas had a 2.5. Also in Texas, we had Dallas coming in with a 2.0, and multiple ones, West Texas, the highest one being a 3.6. The New Madrid fault line is moderately active. Chicago registering a 2.4. Ohio, a 2.1. West Virginia, a 2.8. Illinois had another one with 2.3. Arkansas had six earthquakes, highest one being a 2.3. Missouri had multiple earthquakes, 2.2. Tennessee, multiple earthquakes, 2.2. Alabama had two of them, highest one being a 2.9. The Yellowstone region, Montana had a 3.4, Utah 3.0, Idaho 3.4, South Dakota a 3.0, and Wyoming a 3.2. Now, the Rocky Mountain region, the whole area is starting to experience some minor quakes. Arizona registering a 3.1, New Mexico 2.6, Nevada had a 2.9. The Northwest region, or the Ring of Fire, is very active still. Highest ones in Washington was a 3.4, Oregon 2.4, California a 4.3, Baja, Mexico had a 4.6, Hawaii had a 4.8, and Alaska had a 5.1. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you, FEMA will be conducting the Great Central Earthquake Drill on Tuesday, February 7th at 10:15 a.m. After this report, I believe everyone should participate. Even if you're not in the area, you can review your personal earthquake plans. As you can see, earthquakes are happening throughout the United States. Now, for a space weather report, forecasters are estimating a 15% chance of minor geomagnetic storms on February 3rd in response to the expected arrival of a solar wind stream. X-ray levels are between B3 and C1 currently. Decay index is quiet at a level 1. X-class flares is quiet, and geomagnetic storms are at an S1 level. Sudden impulses are expected. Now, for near-Earth objects, or NEOs, currently there's 1,287 NEOs in the local area. Beyond that, there's nothing else to report. Well, that about does it for this week's Common Sense Preparedness Situation Report. If you would like to find more information on any of the subject matters in this report, please visit csp.hesafety.org. And remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune into Common Sense Preparedness Radio Talk Show and follow us on the web at csp.hesafety.org. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program right here on bbsradio.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album to be released in January with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operations Team, preparing one person, one community, and one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support for the healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org. Hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's Hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
All right, I wanted to talk a little bit about space weather. We've been hearing all kinds of stuff in the news lately about the solar flares and the CMEs. So it got me to thinking about space weather. What really is it, and what's out there? So I began to research it, and one of the biggest things I found was one big alphabet soup to me. X6 flares, C5 geometric storms, K1 flux. Flux what? Flux capacitor? Come on, that was in a movie. It went on and on and on. I realize this is going to take some time. However, there was a couple things that jumped right out at me. One, we're really not prepared for any kind of solar weather strike. We don't even know what it is. Two, solar weather is still in its infancy. We learn every time we get a strike. And three, I was never so glad the Earth was such a complex thing. I remember many moons ago, back in school, when they started talking about the different spheres that made up our atmosphere, the magnetic field around the Earth, I was bored to tears. I was never going to use that stuff. But when I was doing this research, I was wishing I had paid more attention to the teacher than I did to the girls in school. So what is it? But just as the Earth has a weather pattern, cold fronts, jet stream, and wind speeds, well, so does outer space. Our space weather is mostly controlled by the Sun, also known as Sol. That is because we're so close to it. Magnetism plays a very big role here with solar weather. Let's start with geomagnetism. Every planet has geomagnetism. The Earth's geomagnetic field is a combination of several magnetic fields generated by various sources superimposing on each other. More than 90% of the field is generated by movement of the conductive material inside the Earth's core. This is also referred to as the main field. Other important sources of the geomagnetic field for Earth include electric current flowing from the ionized upper atmosphere, and currents flowing within the Earth's crust. There is also local anomalies produced by mountain ranges, ore deposits, geological faults, and artificial products such as trains, aircraft, power lines, etc. Now, next thing we want to take a look at is solar wind. What is solar wind? Well, solar wind is an external force that we must keep an eye on. The Sun gives off a very strong wind from its outer layers, but a strong solar wind is billions of times thinner than any wind we face here on Earth. It mostly consists of electrons and protons with energies ranging between 1.5 and 10 kilovolts. The stream of particles varies in temperatures and speed over time. The solar wind creates a heliosphere, a vast bubble in the interstellar medium that surrounds the solar system. Solar winds also has an effect on geomagnetic storms. The delivery time, will it kick here quicker, will it slow down, stuff like that. Now, two other things we want to take a look at is, one, solar flares and CMEs. Solar flares are pretty spectacular. Within an hour or less, an area of the sun the size of Earth suddenly lets loose a blast of X-rays and other powerful radiations. Traveling at the speed of light, this will reach Earth within 8.5 minutes. Now, these solar flares, they can't harm the astronauts in space and damage some satellites. However, fortunately for us here on Earth, the atmosphere of Earth is so thick, we don't have to worry about them. The only thing that solar flares can do to us here is knock out shortwave radio, and it destroys part of the atmosphere called the ionosphere. That's the top layer of the atmosphere. Now, solar flares are classified as A, B, C, M, and X, according to its peak flux. The higher the number, the stronger the flare. So an X flare is stronger than an A flare. Now, CMEs, or coronal mass ejections, for reasons astronomers don't fully understand yet, like I said, we're still in our infancy, the sun occasionally burps and sends out these huge clouds of gas into space. By the time they reach Earth's orbit, they've grown to be millions of miles across. Most of the time, these clouds are sent out in other directions than the Earth, so we don't have to see it. But every once in a while, we'll see one coming at us. It usually takes about 2 or 3 days to get here. Travel about 1 million miles an hour, too. Now, the effects on Earth, because of the complex and strong atmosphere that we have, we're protected about 80% of the time. And the other 20% are directed at airline flights that are fly over 35,000 feet and fly over the poles. Plus, the electrical industry is at risk here, not the average citizen. But a reliance on electronic communications and utilities are at risk, so a big solar storm can cause blackouts and disruptions in communications to include cell phones and TV. Now, the current concern is the sun will produce an EMP that will fry all of our electronic devices, an EMP being an electromagnetic pulse. I still believe that it's part of a geomagnetic storm. Well, let's use some common sense here. From what we know so far and what we've talked about, can it happen? I'm not sure yet. I've not been able to verify it with a reliable source that it can happen. People talk about it, but I have not verified it. But if it does happen, I'm under the firm impression that destroying all of our electronics would be the least of our worries. You see, in order for that to happen, the Earth's geomagnetic field and the ionosphere will have to be destroyed prior to it. Without those two items, not only will we be missing our electronic devices, but we'll be dodging every near-Earth object in the area, and I believe there's a total of 1,272 objects in the area. Plus, any radiation from the sun, which is almost a constant thing, will not only melt the polar ice caps, but the radiation levels on Earth will rise so high, it will kill everything on Earth. So should you be worried about the CME, solar flares, flux capacitors, and such? Well, yes. It tells if the internet's going to be disrupted, or why our GPS keeps on resetting itself, and makes us prepare for possible electrical power failures at times. But do we need to occupy the underground bunker and place all of our electronics in fryery cages? No. If it gets that bad, then we have a lot more to worry about than losing our electronics. I know. Everyone's saying I'm wrong. Well, I might be. If you have credible proof that I'm wrong, by all means, email me at csp@hesafety.org. And if I am proven wrong, I will bring you on the show to correct me. But until then, I think we are creating our own fears. Go to csp.hesafety.org and under Solar Weather Report is all my research on the subject. By all means, use it and determine for yourself. Am I correct or am I not? Now, another item we have to worry about is near-Earth objects. Now, that's a real danger. Near-Earth objects, or NEOs, or meteorites, if you were able to take a look at the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, you would see rocks the size of Texas there. Now, if one of those objects hits the Earth, there's nothing you can do. Life is over as we know it. My advice would be, go and try and catch the rock as it falls to Earth, because once it hits, it's going to destroy our atmosphere, all plant life, all animal life. I know about survivalism, but do you really want to survive in that kind of condition? No food, no sun, no nothing. The atmosphere is going to be gone, so you're probably not going to survive anyway. Go catch the rock. However, there's a lot of small NEOs that can hit the Earth and wreak devastation. These are the ones that we need to watch out for. There's nothing you can do about the devastation it will cause, but you can be prepared to continue life after the impact. The devastation can range from almost anything, from destroying a city block to destroying a whole region. So what we need to know is what to expect from an NEO. Okay, we have an asteroid hit, a large one. Well, you're going to have earthquakes in the region. You're going to have dust in the air. Now, with the dust, you're going to have reduced sunlight for a long term, which means no solar power, no gardening, no food, and you're going to have contaminated water. These are just a few things you want to think about when we talk about asteroids hitting the Earth or near-Earth objects. So how do we protect ourselves from this? Well, let's get prepared. Prepare yourselves for earthquakes. What's the common preparedness for earthquakes? Strap everything to the wall? Have an emergency evacuation plan? Stop, drop, and cover, and hold on? Also, there are going to be contaminated airborne particles in the air, so you're going to need an N95 dust mask to walk outside. Possible higher radiation levels. If the asteroid has radiation in it, well, we're going to have to suffer through the radiation levels. So radiation contamination, decontamination protocols must be used. Radiation monitoring must commence. We're also going to have a lot of dead people, so open death protocols have to be enforced. How do you bury your dead? What type of diseases can you get from human remains? Stuff like that. The fourth item we want to look at is the lack of food. Animals and plants will die off with lack of sunlight. So what are we going to do then? How about alternate food sources? How about greenhouses? We can generate our own electricity. So how about greenhouses? Contaminated water sources. We're going to have to look at water filtration. Are we prepared for that? Decontamination of the water. How do you do that? Boiling the water. Alternate sources of water. Water is our life substance. Without water, we're going to die. So you need to be able to procure some. And no sunlight. So with no sunlight, because of the dust in the air, you're going to have A, no solar power, and B, vitamin D deficiencies. Now, the no solar power deficiency is a problem, yes, but we have alternate ways of generating electricity. So you have to have a backup plan. Hey, no solar power? We have wind power. We have water power. So there's other options we have to face, we have to be prepared for.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, the American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by patriotmusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons from patriotmusic.com. I'm proud to announce the release of a new CD of original rock in January that celebrates individual liberty and the principles that made our republic great. Come give a listen to the music. We've got free videos, radio, TV, and podcast interviews, and an album cover you'll be thinking about for years. And don't forget to check out the Take Action section, where you can share your ideas on how to put America back on track. PatriotMusic.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operations Team, preparing one person, one community, and one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support for the healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. This song you're about to hear from Matt Fitzgibbons can be downloaded for free at patriotmusic.com.
Did you ever have a really bad day when everything seemed to go the wrong way? Well, just to start, my alarm clock broke. It was 10 o'clock when I finally woke. I showered, shaved, and got my work clothes on. I hit the road like a marathon. It was 5 minutes from the parking lot when I hit a traffic jam and everything stopped. I turned on the country station I love.
asked for help from the man above. While I was thinking of what I would say, the DJ told me it was Saturday. Oh, come on!
Oh my, what did I do to deserve this mess? Oh God, why? I heard a voice that said,
guess. Finally started back home that day, and I hit the liquor store on the way. A little old lady in a great big boat, she cut me off and my bottle broke. She's doing 20 in a 50 zone. Well, I got pulled over just a mile from home. He said he smelled the whiskey in my truck, that I was speeding and was out of luck. Oh, come on!
Oh, my.
On my ride and waiting for cuffs, I turned around when the boat pulled up. The little old lady, well, she said to the cop, now listen, son, you better stop. No son of mine's gonna act this way. For all you know, he might have had a bad day. He shook my hand and then he kissed his mom. He sped away with his lights back on.
Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about power outages. We've all become so dependent on electrical power that sometimes we forget. Without it, life becomes very difficult. Well, it's just like extended camping. Eh, I've heard about that one too. Well, not really. You see, without power, not only will your cell phones and computers stop working, but so will your refrigerators, electric stoves, hot water heaters, HVAC units, and heating units. But I got a generator. Well, generators are only going to last for a few weeks. Without power, you cannot refuel your fuel restorers. Then you'll be left in the darkness. For prolonged power outages over 2 hours, there are some steps you can take to minimize food loss, enhance your family's safety, and to keep all members of the household as comfortable as possible. So as you can see, there is a lot of things to do and plan for. On csp.hesafety.org, you will find checklists to ensure that you can minimize your risk during power outages. We'll start with a pre-disaster checklist. Locate and identify gas and water shutoff valves and electrical disconnects. These should be written down in your family emergency plan. Check your alternate power sources, solar or generator. Make sure they're ready to go. Check your fuel supplies and rotate out if necessary. Check firewood supplies. Check your alternate cooking arrangements. Do you have a gas grill? Is it working? What about an open pit fire gear? You know, things like that. Check proper operations of your freezer thermostat and your refrigerator thermostat. Also, a good thing is to put a thermometer in both of them. Fill up hurricane lamps with fuel. Now, for those who don't know what a hurricane lamp is, it's a glass lamp that works on combustible fuel. And it has a clear glass top to it. I highly recommend these over candles. These are a little bit more safer than candles to use. Ensure you have coolers available. Inexpensive styrofoam coolers will work just as well. Check your water supplies. You're going to want 1 gallon per person per day. 7 days minimum supply, up to 2 weeks. Your food, non-perishable foods, easy to prepare items, 7 day supply. A flashlight. They have these hand crank flashlights, solar generated flashlights, is what we recommend. Battery powered or hand crank radios, NOAA weather radio if possible. Some extra batteries. Rechargeables would be nice. If you have a generator, you can recharge your batteries within the hour. A first aid kit. Make sure it's up to standard levels. Medication. If you're on medication, you need to have at least a 7-day supply with you. And medical items if you should need them. A multi-purpose tool. Sanitation and personal hygiene items. Copies of personal documentations. Medication lists. Pertinent medical information, deeds, lease to your home, birth certificates, insurance policies. I recommend that you put these on a thumb drive. Cell phones with chargers. Don't forget your chargers. And family and emergency contact information. You're going to want to keep your car's gas tank full at this time. And extra cash. If you have extra cash, let's not go overboard because people are going to get really funky when the power goes out. So you want just enough to get you through. Now, during a power outage, let's talk a little bit about generators. During a power outage, it is the time to fire up that generator, if you have one. A few things you want to know about it first. The generator needs to be located outside the home and far enough away from windows that it will not send carbon monoxide into the house. Also, you want to make sure the power cable that you run from the generator to your home is waterproof, and it does not run through doors or windows. Anything that can act like a pinch point or cut the cable. When you're refueling, please do not refuel a fuel tank over a hot engine. Let the engine cool down. You're just asking for trouble and third-degree burns this way. Gas vapors are extremely flammable. Now, your refrigerator. Frozen and refrigerated food should be fine in any power outage lasting less than 2 hours. Some precautions need to be taken if the power failure is expected to last more than 2 hours. When the power goes out, a full freezer should keep frozen food for at least 48 hours, and a half-full freezer should be at least 24 hours. These estimates are shortened if you open and close the door all the time. So what that means is keep the door shut as much as possible. Usually you should have a running list of what's in your freezer and your refrigerator. In case power service is interrupted immediately, having a general idea of what's in there. Perishable foods or non-frozen foods must be kept below 40 degrees Fahrenheit at all times. Without opening the door, the typical refrigerator should keep food cold for about 4 hours during a power failure. If the power is anticipated to be out longer than that, all eggs, dairy, meat, and fish should be packed into a cooler with ice. A digital quick-read thermometer should be used to determine if food is cold enough. Discard any food warmer than 40 degrees. Always remember your temperature controls when it comes to food. Cold food should be at 41 degrees or below. Hot food should be at 140 degrees or higher. Serve prepared, ready-to-eat perishable foods first. Perishable foods such as milk, meats, and other foods normally stored under refrigeration will spoil rapidly without it. These foods, if still cold, should be used as quickly as possible, first thing on your menu. Prepared and other perishable foods should be discarded when safe refrigeration and hot holding temperatures cannot be maintained. You can listen to a recorded USDA message on food safety during power outages by calling the 24-hour hotline they have, toll-free, at 1-800-535-4555. Once again, that number is 1-800-535-4555. Now, water safety during a power outage. Water purification systems might not operate during a power failure. Your local water utility should be able to tell you if the water is safe to drink or not. Remember, the average person requires a gallon of water per day, half to drink and half for sanitation. The best bet is to store bottled water for use in an emergency. If bottled water is not available, tap water can be used if boiled for at least 1 minute. Usually, other methods to purify water are not as effective. Remember, if chemical means is used to purify water, parasite organisms are probably not removed. Discontinue non-essential water usage. Do not drink cloudy or dirty water. And don't be alarmed if the chlorine level is a little bit higher than normal. Notify your water officials if you have low or no water pressure in your home. Now, communications during a power outage. Most cordless phones will not work during a power failure. Cell phones may or may not work. All depends on the cell towers in your area. Also, cell phones can become overloaded during an emergency. The common suggestion is If you have cell operations, use text message or email message as a way of communications. That is because these types of messages require less bandwidth and are completed in much shorter time frames. Regular landline telephones, those that use only a phone line and do not require power cord or batteries, you know, the old-fashioned type, will continue to operate during most power failures. They run on a completely different 24-volt system. So, it is great to keep at least one regular old-fashioned style phone in your home during power failures. Now, emergency lighting in your home. There's a whole array out there of solar lighting solutions. Check csp.hesafety.org equipment list for some ideas. It is recommended that you use either solar lights or hurricane lamps. We need to get away from these ideas of using candles as a good source of light. They pose more of a fire risk than anything else. Ah, now we're so bored, no power. You need to think about entertainment a little bit. Board games and cards are the time-tested best thing around. For some families, it's the only time you ever see your kids off the electronics and spend some quality time with you. Kind of like a captive audience, if you would. So make the best of it. Utilize your cards and board games as much as possible. The one game I used to like to play, especially during power outages, was a game called The Worst Case Scenario. It was a survival game. Talked about all kinds of emergencies. How would you handle an emergency? Great game. And also, you want to make sure these cards and board games are part of your emergency supplies. Emergency cooking during a power outage. Now, here's where it gets to be like camping. Make a fire pit in your backyard. Barbecue until the power comes back on. If you have a gas stove, a power outage might not affect your cooking abilities. It might affect your lighting abilities, but you can always use a long kitchen lighter for that. Also, you want to know about fire watches during a power outage. So what is a fire watch? A fire watch is when you go around your home and you look for any kind of smoke or flames. Now that the power is out, this will mean that you will be using hurricane lamps. Thus, you want to do what is called a fire watch every few hours. All you do to complete a fire watch is walk around the home and make sure nothing is burning. No smoke coming out of rooms, and do a visual check on every room and closet. Most smoke detectors are battery operated, so you might still have battery smoke detection available to you, but I would still do the fire watch just to have that extra layer of security, because you are going to be using open flames. Now your electronic equipment / electrical equipment. Turn off and unplug all unnecessary electrical equipment and electronics. Turn off and disconnect any appliances that uses electricity, like stoves. And also try to keep an eye on what electronics you were using when the power went out. You want to make sure they're turned off. And you want to do this because when power comes back on, there's a surge or a spike. And if you just spent $3,000 on a computer, you don't want a spike hitting it. Leave one light turned on so you'll know when power comes back on. Or a fan. I suggest a fan. Eliminate unnecessary travel, especially by car. Traffic lights are going to be out, and roads will be congested at this point, and street lights will be out, so it'll be dark outside. Carbon monoxide. Let's talk about carbon monoxide for a second. If you're using a generator, carbon monoxide can kill you. Never use a generator, grill, camp stove, or other gasoline, propane, or natural gas, or charcoal-burning devices inside the home. Always take that outside. And also, when you're outside, make sure that the smoke does not go back into the house. Also, carbon monoxide. You want to install carbon monoxide detectors throughout your home. If you start to feel queasy to your stomach, headaches, dizziness in the home, get outside the home. Get the fresh air. If after 5 minutes in the fresh air you're feeling fine, you got a carbon monoxide problem in your house. Now, during a power outage, you also want to stay cool. Stay cool during hot days and try and stay warm during cold days. Also, you want to check on your neighbors, especially the elderly and those with medical dependencies. Monitor radio and television for current information, when the power will be back on, what's going on. Also, garage doors and security gates. Understand, without power, you need to release them manually if anything should happen. And one last thing about traffic. Anticipate traffic delays. If you have to evacuate, understand when you come to a red light and it's out, it becomes a four-way stop. Now, when power is restored, do not touch any down power lines. Keep at least 10 feet away from them at all times. And also, report them to the appropriate officials in your area, usually the fire department. Throw out unsafe food. Throw away any food that has been exposed to temperatures above 40 degrees or that has unusual color, odor, or texture. When in doubt, throw it out. Never taste food or rely on appearance and odor to determine its safety. Some foods may look and smell fine, but if they've been in room temperature too long, bacteria causing foodborne illnesses can start growing quickly. Some types of bacteria produce toxins that cannot be destroyed by cooking. If food in the freezer is colder than 40 degrees Fahrenheit and has ice crystals on it, you can refreeze it. If you're not sure if the food is cold enough, take the temperature of the food with a food thermometer. Throw out any food, meat, poultry, fish, eggs, or leftovers that has been exposed to temperatures higher than 40 degrees for more than 2 hours, or any food that has unusual odor, color, textures, or feels warm to the touch. For more guidelines on refreezing food when the power comes back on, visit HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org for more links to guides to USDA and the Food Safety Administration. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operations Team, preparing one person, one community, and one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support for the healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org. Your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. I just want to take a moment to remind my listeners that on February 7th, FEMA will be conducting the Great Central Shakeout at 10:15 a.m. For more information on this drill, go ahead and contact FEMA at FEMA.gov. If you live in the central U.S., it's a fantastic time to practice your earthquake portion of your family emergency plan. If you don't live in the affected area, well, it'd be a great time to take out your family emergency plan and see what supplies you need to become prepared for an earthquake. If you don't have a family emergency plan yet, visit csp.hesafety.org for information on how to create one. Also, February 7th would be a great time to practice your power outage procedures. And I mean, really practice it. Do something like I do. Go home. Find the electrical box and turn off the power from the main breaker. People in the home will lose their minds, especially the kids. No electronics. What do you think they're going to do when that computer shuts down automatically? Go inside and tell them, hey, I forgot to pay the power bill. See what they're going to do. Now, I recommend that we don't leave the power off more than 3 hours. This way you can avoid losing any of your food in your refrigerator. But it's a good test. It's a good initial reaction to see what they're going to do. And while you're watching them, try and guide them into things. Things you want to guide your family into? As soon as power goes out, someone should fill up the bathtubs with water. Now, this can be used for sanitation and drinking purposes, if needed. Now, if you're going to drink it, actually, boil it, or use some other type of decontamination method, do not use it straight from the tub. Another thing you want to look out for is how many times do you have to open a refrigerator or freezer to get an idea of what kind of food you have in there. Remember, the perishable food must go first, so you need to have some kind of running list of what's in there. A Another thing you want to look for is, what supplies do you have in your home emergency cache? Is it adequate for a power outage? Is it adequate to survive on 7 days? The drill might be a good time to break out the cards and play a few games with the kids. Now, if you don't have kids in the home, a blackout drill might remedy that situation. Also, write down any shortcomings you have of the drill. You can correct them later, or make adjustments to your family emergency plan. Now, your home emergency cache... Now, I'm not talking about money. Your home emergency cache differs from your emergency bags because it's not intended to be mobile. It's supplies that stay at your house. The home cache should include items like a 14-day supply of food and water, emergency tools. How large is your food reserves in your freezer? You're not going to take your freezer on a bug out. Also, the home cache is going to include your generator, fuel reserves, wood piles, stuff like that. They're not intended to be mobile. So these are stuff that are going to be included in your home cache, home emergency cache. And I also want you to remember, the 21st century lives that we live, it's becoming more and more easier to disrupt, and that alone will cost lives. While it is great to be able to get the latest football scores as they're happening and be able to complete your work from home, remember, there is life without electronics, and we can lose our devices within any minute. A quick and easy way to build a kit is by checking out hotteam.org. They're supporting a 7-day emergency kit at cost. Since they're a 501c nonprofit company, they offer the kits at what they pay for them, I think, plus some shipping and handling. Plus, if you meet their criteria, you might be eligible for a free kit. They do give out free kits, free disaster kits. Check with hotteam.org, that's hotteam.org, or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that number is 678-431-8914. And when you talk to them, let them know you heard it from us. Remember, being prepared to face any disaster is not just a hobby. It's a responsibility that you owe to your family and to your community. Being prepared is easy as ABC. Always be informed. Build a kit. Create a plan. One last reminder. Common Sense Preparedness is not only located at csp.hesafety.org, but you can find us at Google+, Facebook, and on YouTube. Now, on YouTube, you have to do a search for HE Safety. Google+, and Facebook, we're listed under Common Sense Preparedness. We have found on Google+, and Facebook, it's easier to get to utilize the social networking to get the emergency information out there immediately. So if you friend us or circle us on either one of them, you will get daily situation reports and weekly situation reports from Common Sense Preparedness as quickly as it happens. And our world is always evolving and always changing, so something's happening all the times. Also, if you want to do some advertising with HE Safety and Common Sense Preparedness, check out our webpage. There's a link that says Advertise with HE Safety. By clicking on that, that will give you our advertising package. You will need to call us for rates, but I can tell you they are 75% below market value right now. And one last reminder, Common Sense Preparedness is made for you guys. So help us out by spreading the word. The more people we can reach, the more lives we can save. And if you want to be involved with the radio program, by all means, email me with suggestions on upcoming shows, things that you would like to hear. And hopefully our website will be soon having comments enabled on it. So you can always leave me a comment or email me at tim@hesafety.org. Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program. We may be found at the web at csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness. We'll be right back.
don't feel safe if you are wrong. You say gun control is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Teach lessons to your daughters and sons, to fear the government that fears your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. They don't feel safe if you are wrong. You say gun control is using both hands. Using both hands.